Okay, so we're going to look at a bit of page 9, meditation and faith. Now, this is kind of very important because we're going into an era where we're going to need strong faith. And to be honest, we're going to need strong minds that are not easily distracted from what we see happening around us. Because we already begin to see things that you can wonder about, right? This world is just getting crazy and just going out of control. And it will be more so. And for that reason, we as Christians need to have strong minds and strong faith so that we won't be distracted and become anxious and fearful and all of that. We need to stay the course, we need to stay on track, and we need to keep our faith because we know where we're heading. We've been warned about things that will happen these days. So we shouldn't be surprised when we see things happen. So that's why this part is actually quite important. We're going to talk a little bit about that. So to discipline, we're talking about discipline of meditation, and we're just focusing on meditation and faith. So to discipline is to train, to condition, to correct, to adapt, to adjust, to conform, to subdue, or to tame. Remember that word subdue, that famous two verses that we have trouble with meditating on. It's taking thoughts captive. Subdue them. Rule over them. Don't let them run around in your head. So you train your mind, and that is what we all need to do, especially nowadays. You discipline yourself to make time for effective meditation, to set some time apart, and to train your thoughts to focus on the subject or the object of your meditation. So focus on one thing. You cannot focus on two things. You can only focus on one thing.
Not if you're alone. I'm just kidding.
That is an ability that I don't have. but if you, we need to learn how to zoom in on one thing and get the most out of it. You know, we get verses like we've been through many times in Colossians chapter 3. Set your mind. Fix your mind, set your mind on things above, where Christ is. And that's what this is about. We need to learn how to set our minds. So let's look again at the definition of meditation. And I took these definitions from dictionaries. So it's not, these are not my definitions. So it means to chew over, to contemplate, to mull over, to muse, to ponder, to reflect, to think over, to consider. Now remember this one, because we're coming back to this one in a little while. To consider, and so on. It also means to be amazed, to analyze. That is very helpful. When you meditate on scripture, is you analyze it, which means you take it apart and you look at the different parts separately. Especially those two verses there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. There's a lot of information there that we will only really get if we take those two verses apart and look at the different parts separately. Basically, It is to think about something or someone at length and in depth. Now, remember in the beginning when we started talking about meditation is a unique silence. You need to get to a place of silence of at least 20 minutes or more if you can. No music. Put your phone off, turn the phone off. No noise, nothing. So you can, your mind is clear and you can focus on one thing. And that's when you more easily meditate. So you need silence. So meditating on the work of God, those past victories and miracles, whether in your own life or someone else's, raises your level of faith and increases the anointing on your life. So that's why I gave you those two chapters to read last week, the Song of Moses. So he looked back and he made a song of what God did for them and the wonderful miracle that took place. The same with Miriam. And what was it, Psalm 136? Where it's quite a long psalm, where I think it's David that wrote it, where he went through all the victories of the nation. And that's the kind of thing that boosts your faith. When you look back, especially in your own life, when you see, God help me out of that one, of that one, of that one, of that one, and you begin to realize, God takes care of me. I don't have to worry. You begin to learn, well, yeah, I can trust God. And I don't have to worry about things. So meditating on these things is very helpful to build your faith. So when you face issues, then your faith is strong enough so that you won't panic, you won't be anxious, you'll have peace, and it's a lot easier to go through problems that way. So now we're going to read some scripture, but there's also some homework there, and that is Psalm 136 and Judges 5. So you can just make a note there on your notes that you read those. That's it. You don't have to meditate on them, just read them. Okay, let's go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And so this is when Joshua took over from Moses, when Moses died and God appointed Joshua to be the new leader of the nation. And then in verse 8, let's pick up verse 6. God is speaking to, he's preparing Joshua for this task of leading the nation. Joshua 1 and verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right and or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. See how God is helping him to be a successful leader is by meditating on the Word of God. Meditate, I say, day and night. It's also the same thing that David wrote in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who meditates in this law day and night. So it stays in your head. And then here God actually told him, it shall not depart from your mouth, so you need to speak it also. It helps to read scripture aloud when you read. Okay, let's go to Psalm 8. It's easy to find the Psalms right in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 8, and we're going to read verses 3 to 5. Psalm 8, verses 3 to 5. When I consider, there's that word again, right? When I consider, it's part of meditation. You consider something. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. Now you can go to your blue letter Bible. If your Bible has a little reference there, you'll see what it actually says is you have made him a little lower than Elohim.
Mine says God.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's what it means.
Elohim is God. Yeah.
Elohim is God. Mm-hmm. So you think about that. So while we're in the Psalms, Psalm 42. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill of Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. And that's the thing that I want to just think about. Deep calls unto deep. That is when you meditate. If you go deeper into what you meditate on, you're not just glancing over scripture, you're going to go into the depth of it. And you get to that point where deep calls unto deep. Verse 7 again, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the nighttime his song be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. So that's what meditation does. It takes you deeper into things. We're not just scratching the surface. We're going deeper. So we meditate on his promises, we meditate on his laws, his statutes, and principles. And now we see, so when you see, you create pictures in your mind. You see the Lord saving, delivering, healing, cleansing, and so on. You see God doing things that you are praying for. Remember that little line, when you can see the invisible, you can do the impossible. And then you see yourself healed, free, filled with the Holy Spirit, and so on. Things you pray for, your family saved, and the things that you pray about. See the answer to your prayers, really, as you meditate on the promises of God. Because God's going to He's going to fulfill His promise to you. And so when we meditate, we begin to see God fulfilling His promise. We're building our faith. We're building our faith. But we begin to see, just in our mind, God answering our prayer. You see yourself laying hands on the sick and they recover. And so we'll meditate on His promises and see the fulfillment in your heart and rejoice in it by faith. See, faith kicks in when we embrace that the fulfillment of it. So when God answers your prayer, you're going to be rejoicing, right? But now you rejoice before, because that's what faith does. Faith rejoices in what God promised before He's fulfilled, because you know He will honor His word. So rejoice, or being happy, or praising God for the answer is actually a step of faith toward the fulfillment of that promise. You need to think about that one, right?
It's quiet here this morning. Very quiet.
Now don't be quiet, because you make me nervous when you're quiet.
Okay, you want me to ask a question?
ask questions.
Ask questions, okay.
Sure.
Your turn.
Okay, we're going to do a little interesting study here on Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And we'll read from verse 13. Romans 4 and verse 13. So God made a promise to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. When He made that promise, they had no children. And because they were barren, Sarah couldn't have children. And God's making him this promise, and they're getting old. So that's the background of this whole thing. Verse 13. For the promise that he would be heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. It's not because he was a good law-abiding Israelite, but because he believed God. So God really looks at faith. Do we trust Him? He wants us to trust Him. Remember there in Hebrews 11, we read, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So faith is big in our relationship with God. Okay. Verse 14. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of no effect. So that means if you have to earn things with God, you don't need faith. You're going to earn it. Verse 15, because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. So if you don't tell your kid, don't eat cookies between meals, if you don't tell that kid, and the kid does go and eats cookies, you cannot say he did anything wrong, right? You didn't lay down the law. So the child didn't transgress. But when you said, don't do it, now there's a transgression. That's what he says.
What he's saying here is, if God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then there is no faith necessary.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm confused.
So, what he says is, we don't earn things from God by keeping the law. We receive from him because we believe him to fulfill his promises.
So we can eat all the cookies we want.
Yeah, unless he said not to. But no, okay. There is no law, right?
No, there's no law about cookies.
The law is fulfilled. Christ Jesus fulfilled the law.
Right, okay.
So the law is gone.
That's, oh, okay.
That's where this is heading.
I can smell it.
The cookies are burning. No, I realize that. But then we talk about Christians who backslide and, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. But they distance themselves from God. So if your child is a runaway kid, there's nothing you can do for it because the child is not there to take care of. Right? That's what the backslider is. Verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So what he's saying is this: God made a promise to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations before the law was given. There was no law. So he couldn't earn anything with God. All Abraham could do was to believe God, that he would do it. Right? That's all he had, was trust God. And he was going to need that faith because he went through a bit of a difficult time. We'll talk about that. So you don't need faith when everything is running smoothly. You need faith when things go wrong. And things were not going right for Abraham. They actually were going wrong year after year after year for 25 years. And all through those years, he believed God. He trusted God that he would do what he said he would do. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. You see, that's the thing with God. He says, I have made you a father of many nations. As far as God's concerned, that promise is already fulfilled. It just needs to manifest. But it's done. When God spoke it, it's done. Verse 17 again, as it is written, I've made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom you believe, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Think about that now. God calls those things that don't exist as if they did. So we're learning something about faith here. Now you can take God on his word, right? So if God made a promise in Scripture, then you look at that promise and you need that promise to be fulfilled in your life. Then you're going to do this. You're going to call those things that don't exist. My children are not saved yet. But I'm going to call them safe because God said so.
So faith is always attached to a promise.
Right. Faith is always attached to what God said.
What okay. if you made a prayer and it wasn't getting answered? And so you made a new prayer that was easier to be answered. And then you went back and went back to the original prayer because you're like, nope, the first prayer is what I prayed for. And that's the one I really want answered.
Right.
But you know what I mean? Like yeah. you
bargain with God.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I know you're busy. So
yeah. I know that's a very, very, very hard prayer to answer. But how about this instead? But no, I really wanted the original one answered. So then I went back. So now is he going to answer the second one too? Or
so it's going to take longer because the word says you must be stable in all your
steps.
Ways.
Okay.
You want to
okay.
step it up? No. So, well, you keep on praying until you begin when you begin in your spirit, you feel there's kind of a breakthrough. God's going to add, you feel that joy coming up. That's when you stop praying and you start rejoicing, thanking Him.
Yeah, that's what I do. That one's too hard. That one's way too hard. Asking for a friend, yeah.
But let's look at verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. And he has no kid.
Well, we already told him in advance.
Yeah. So, look, in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. All right, let's... When God made him that promise, God changed their names. He changed Abraham's name from Abraham to Abraham.
Abraham.
And Abraham means father of many nations. So every time his wife called him, father of many nations. They were calling things that did not exist as if they did. For 25 years.
People thought they were crazy.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, you know, you think about what other people would think about that. See, the line between faith and foolishness is very thin. It looks like foolishness until it's fulfilled. So, and also, her name, I think it means queen or something, I forget now. But God changed her name as well. So here are the two people, they never had children, they're too old. And they're giving, and people think they're going senile because they're giving themselves names that are not real. But they are real because God said so. And God made them call those things that don't exist as if they did. He made them. So we go, there's something for us to learn here.
So, yeah, I'm a little confused then. When we pray, we say, you know, we would like this to happen.
Yeah.
Instead, maybe we should be just thanking God for...
For doing it already.
Yeah. You can ask or you can thank him. It depends on where you are in your relationship with him.
I don't want to get it wrong.
No.
Don't do it.
Well, you don't get it wrong.
No, you pray for it.
See,
and then when you're done praying for it, you know it's going to be answered. So then you're saying thank you for answering it.
Yes.
Before it was even answered.
Right.
But our language, like when we say things like, I hope.
Yeah, hope.
That,
yeah.
No. That's not
no.
faith.
No.
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 No. Hope is not faith. So faith is already receiving what God promised.
It will happen.
It will certainly happen.
Not hope. It will happen.
Right.
Okay.
Hope is telling you God will do something. That it's out there, right? But faith is taking hold of it. So let's say you're praying for your children to be saved, and you go and see what the Bible says about that. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Right? There's a promise there that Jesus is the one, that it is the will of God that everyone should be saved, everyone. And I take that. And I say, thank you, Lord. My children will be saved. Thank you for saving them. So that's what we do. So God changed their names to force them to call those things that did not exist yet as if they did. Foolish as it was not foolishness. It was not foolishness. That's how God works. Verse 18. Still talking about Abraham now. Abraham, who contrary to hope. So here's the couple, they're barren, they're old, they have no hope, right? They have no hope. Contrary to hope, in hope believed. So that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Verse 19. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider, there's that word. Now, I looked at different translations this morning. It doesn't say so in the New Living Translation or the NIV. It says so in the New King James and the King James. And then I went to the Afrikaans Bible, and there it says, he paid no attention to his body that was old, which means he didn't consider. Let's look at 19. And not being weak in faith, He did not consider his own body, already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. I mean, naturally, there's no hope. There's no point, there's no hope. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, look, giving glory to God. So, he gave glory to God for 25 years that there will be a son, although there was nothing, but he glorified God for the promise. He knew God would fulfill the promise, he knew, and thanked him for that promise. Verse 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So Abraham knew, he did not consider his body or Sarah's body, the fact that there's no chance in the natural that they could have children. He did not consider, didn't think about it, paid no attention to it. He fixed his mind. He set his mind on the promise. That's all. He paid no attention to the circumstances and things that happened in the natural around them. Paid no attention to that. He only paid attention to what God said. He fixed his mind on it. And that's when we read Colossians chapter 3, where it says, set your mind. That's what that is. You set your mind. And you know, when you are facing an impossibility, that's when faith kicks in. You don't need faith when everything is fine. You don't need faith for that. You need faith for when things are not good. When you are facing impossibilities, that's when you need faith, and that's why God gave us this tremendous, I don't know what to call it, this tremendous power to receive from him. Well, it's actually not possible. So when you face something that's a challenge to you, don't say, well, you know, don't look at the circumstances and make up your mind when you, because you see circumstances, or you hear, you listen to what people say. You look at what God says, and only at what God says. And you do what Abraham did. You do not consider the circumstances. You don't consider it. Don't think about it. But naturally, in the natural, if you don't have faith, that's exactly the thing you're going to consider. That's what keeps you busy at night, right? All those things you struggle with, you know. Well, you actually should set your mind on the promise, on what God said. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So you go and, yeah, problem, see what God says about it. Attach your faith to it and say, that is the way it's going to be.
But also to me, I think, you know, if you set your mind on something, it gives you peace. You know, if you're sure that this is what you're going for,
it
gives you peace in that situation.
Yeah, and you know God will take care of it. But the devil comes and he'll draw your attention to your problem.
Yeah.
He'll show you something, he'll send somebody to tell you something, or you'll feel something in your body. Your senses will pick up something that is opposite from what God said.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now we come back to our meditation problem. 2 Corinthians 10, verses what, 3 and 4?
4 and 5.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. And they are strong for the pulling down of strongholds.
No, mighty in him.
For the pulling down of strongholds. Thoughts that run in my head that keep on reminding me of the problem that I'm dealing with. It begins to form a stronghold. It dominates my mind. It's a stronghold. I can pull it down, it says. What is that weapon in this case, in Abraham's case? It's the promise of God. The promise of God was Abraham's weapon. That's what I think on. I'll pull down all the negativity of the situation, the barrenness and the old age and all of that. I'll pull all of that down because God said. And I only believe what God said. And I take captive those wrong thoughts or those thoughts that run against the promise. It even says in that verse, when it rises against the knowledge of God. What's the knowledge of God? The knowledge of God in Abraham's case is, are you going to be the father of many nations? That's what God said. That's the knowledge of God. The devil comes and he says, no way, you're old, you're crazy, you gave yourself crazy names, you're too senile people. Abraham paid no attention to that. He set his mind, he focused on what God said, and lo and behold, when it was too old to have children, there's Isaac. It was impossible. It was even impossible when they were young. Now they're old. There's another problem added to the whole thing. They're old now. let's look at verse 20 again. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now look at verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him, but also for us. Also for us. Faith is righteousness. Righteousness is right standing with God. When you believe God, it brings you in right standing with God. Verse 24, but also for us it shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. So he's talking about our faith and our salvation. But that's what faith does, and that's how faith works. It has a lot to do with meditation, because Abraham did not consider, he did not meditate on his problem. He meditated on the promise that God made. He did not consider his body that was old and Sarah's body that was old and barren. He did not consider that. He didn't meditate on that. He meditated only on what God said. And that eventually brought fulfillment to that promise. And the reason why we talk about it is I want us to see the great importance of meditation. What you think about. What you think about. What dominates your mind. Will eventually come to pass.
So worrying about things that could happen may bring them to pass.
It certainly will, because worrying is also faith, but in the problem,
is
not in the...
Worrying is faith?
Yes.
Yeah.
In the problem.
In the problem.
Yeah, faith in the problem.
Oh, faith in the problem.
Yeah.
Okay,
so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's... improperly placed faith.
Nicely put.
It's negative faith.
Yeah, yeah.
So when Paul says, be anxious for nothing, he's telling you, be a person of faith. Trust God. So when you're anxious, you're in the wrong faith. You are producing wrong results. It will bite you. So to worry is a bad thing. What you do is you're calling things that don't exist yet.
Perhaps even manifesting.
Yeah, it will manifest. So now we also need to be careful, because you can spend your time meditating on something, but the rest of the day you talk your problem. Mm-hmm. You cannot do that. Because now you cancel everything you just try to build up in the morning. Destroy the whole thing. And you wonder why the manifestation doesn't come. Because we create with words.
Yeah.
There was a reason why God changed Abraham and Sarah's names. Let's speak it. Let's speak it. They spoke
it. Speak life. Pray life.
Right.
Always positive.
Right.
Always.
speak the word of God. So that's what they did. I mean, it must have sounded foolishness. You know? I mean, you know, introduce, oh, here's my husband, father of many nations. You know, where do kids, you know, they're coming. Well, you're 99 years old, you know.
So this, Abraham, this was like a foreshadowing of Christ to come, like from an impossible pregnancy. And not only was she barren, you know, sometimes people can, you know, think they don't have children, and then all of a sudden they can. But then once that age, you know, like you're almost 100,
yes,
you know. And so it's like an impossible pregnancy and birth.
Yeah, though, I mean, everything was impossible.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about it. I mean, nobody can question the fact that it was impossible for them. So you must know God did something. There's no way you can try and reason it out of the way. There's no way you can. Miracle took place. And you can't reason it out of the way. And sometimes, you know, when you look at some of the miracles that Jesus did, there was a guy that was blind from birth, and the disciples asked him, who sinned, was it him or his parents? Jesus said, no, nobody sinned, but he's blind so that the glory of God can be revealed through him. So God, Jesus, he was brought to that point where everybody had to admit God did a miracle here. There's no, we cannot reason it out of the way. Here it is. They questioned his parents. Yes, he was born blind. Well, how does he see now? Well, we don't know. You ask him. You know?
Yeah. He's old enough. He's at age.
So you come to a point, and sometimes we go through a really rough time, and we wonder, where's God in all of this? Well, he's creating glory for himself. It's not time to quit. He's creating glory for himself.
But I like this where it says that this has been written down, but also for us.
Yes.
Now, it was written for his, not for his sake
right.
alone.
So he's teaching us here how faith works in this chapter. He's teaching us how faith works. Faith works with the impossible. You've got to speak it. You got to consider it. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. So meditation, when you take some time in the morning, so what you do is you read a passage of scripture and you find something that speaks to you, you meditate on it. So when you meditate on a verse, I always say memorize and meditate. So you memorize it, you take it with you into your day. So you can think about it during the day. And so it becomes part of your thinking. That's what Abraham did. There's this whole thing that God made him that promise became part of his thing. He could not get away from it. Because every time his wife called him, he was reminded.
God is so smart.
He was reminded of God's promise. Until, I mean, for 25, can you imagine, for 25 long years, that was what was going on.
And yet they were just human, they made a mistake.
Along the way, they did mess up, both of them. Because Sarah said to him, take the servant girl. I think God will use her. And all they did was create a problem that we still have problems with today. So don't try to help him out. God will let him do it.
What happened?
Well, Ishmael was born.
Ishmael. Okay.
And then,
yeah.
So that's not a good idea. It was not a God idea. So we meditate on scripture, and as we meditate, we build our faith. And so when you read those two passages, they're at the top of page 10, Psalm 136, and Judges 5. You'll see meditation on miracles, on what God did for them. So they were looking back over their past and how God always undertook, he always helped them out. He was always met their needs. He was always there for them. Then when you look forward to the future, you don't have to doubt anymore because you know God's always there. He always takes care of us. We don't have to worry. And that's how we build our faith. And meditation helps us with that. The world is totally out of control. I mean, you look at different nations today and see what's going on. You know where the world is heading. And we begin to see this whole thing about drones now in the States and China, and it's all over the place. And people are getting worried. We don't get worried, right?
Yeah. Is it a distraction?
We don't know yet.
Yeah. What though?
There's some stories going on. We have no clue. Nobody seems to know. Because if they do know, they won't say. But
yeah.
We don't know. What we do know is we don't have to worry about it. And more things will go wrong in the world. There'll be more problems coming. It might even get close to us personally. What we need to know is I need to do what the Bible tells me, and that is to set my mind on things above. Because that's where we're going. We're not of this world, so we don't pay attention to that. We don't consider what goes wrong. We set our minds on things above where Christ is. And that's how we go through all of this. We cannot pay attention to this. Yeah, I mean, we pay attention, but don't let it bring you to a place where you become concerned. We don't get concerned about it.
Because he who dwells in the shadow of the Almighty.
God will take care of us. See, you know, the Bible is very clear about the days that we live in and that we're entering now. That things will go wrong. There will be chaos. There will be violence. There will be all kinds of things that go wrong. I mean, morality is out the door. I don't have to tell you that. The crazy things that are going on. We cannot sit there and fill our minds with those things and say, where's all of this going? Well, we know where it's going. But we're not going where they are going. We're going somewhere else because we're not of this world. So that's why Paul says, set your mind on things above. That's where we're going.